Hey everybody, welcome to the Linux Cast for October 11th, 2020. Now the last few episodes, I've been here just all by myself. It's been very lonely, but I have a co-host. His name is Martin. Hi Martin, how are you doing?
Hi Matt, well, doing good, as well as could be imagined these days. There we go.
Yeah, alright, so this is our first show together. We've talked for about an hour on Skype last Sunday. Probably what you'll notice is it'll take a little while for us to get our groove on and become aware of each other's sense of humor, because I have a terrible sense of humor. I probably will make fun of, you know, weird things at certain times. And I also swear, and at Martin's request, we're going to try not to swear. So if you hear me swear, I'll finally get to learn how to do that fancy beeping thing as they do on the radio. It'll be fun. If you want to get in contact with us, you can do so. Contact info is at the LinuxCast on Twitter. You can follow me. I'm at MTWB on Twitter. Martin is Martin Twit to you. To you. You need a better handle, my friend.
Oh, that was years ago when I put that. I just thought, Martin Twit to you, that'll do.
His Twitter handle will be in the show notes. It'll be easier just to click on it. Martin Twit, the number 2U on Twitter. You can also email us at thelinuxcast@gmail.com, which I do check once a year. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thelinuxcast, or subscribe on YouTube and all of our podcast feeds and stuff at thelinuxcast.org. You can find the link for the YouTube channel also in the show notes. And the Eagles lost. Well, that's just it. Pack it in, folks. My football team lost. Blows. All right, so last time I was here all by myself, I said we're going to talk about NVIDIA Norm. We pushed that back a week, and this time we're just going to let Martin introduce himself just a little bit. So, Martin, why don't you tell us about yourself? Why do you use Linux? What Linux do you use? And so on. Have a ramble.
Yeah, well, I'll try and keep it short. Right, so, I mean, I started my journey with home computers back in the mid-80s. I was using a VIC-20, then onto a Commodore 64, and then progressed onto the Atari ST, and then down the console route with a Mega Drive and a SNES, or SNES, PS1 and so forward. I took computer studies back in 1993, having never actually used a real PC, unfortunately. This was back in the days, obviously, of using the DOS prompt. No fancy spreadsheets. It was Lotus 1-2-3, WordPerfect, and I was programming using the Pascal programming language even. Ever since my computer studies, I've always owned a PC. I've just loved the tinkering about and the various formations and bits and pieces you can get running on PCs. With my Linux journey, I mean, I tried it back in probably about 2010. I didn't get on with it, whether it was because it was a low spec system. I think generally it was just what I was not used to. It seemed very sluggish. I mean, I've tried it every so often, but it was the gaming and the familiarity which kept me toyed into the Microsoft Windows ecosystem. I'll skip forward a few years back to March of this year. I decided to upgrade my PC as I was working from home, as a lot of us are and still are. I replaced a motherboard, memory, graphics card, and it was quite amazing. It actually booted straight into Windows. Unfortunately, bottom right hand of the screen, I had the dreaded Windows Not Genuine. I did a bit of Google foo and found out that Microsoft created a special number from my motherboard, CPU, on hard drive. That ties into a specific key and my login to Windows. I just wasn't too happy at that, and obviously I tried to get rid of it and this and that. And I mean, to be fair, it was only a £5 key off eBay. So I looked into more to try and get rid of it. I've eventually got rid of it, and then just found out the amount of telemetry they send off to Microsoft. The constant software updates that often lead to a crash or even worse, data loss. So I thought, right, let's give Linux a go. So I watched a few YouTube videos and decided upon trying MX Linux on my 2010 Samsung laptop. I was quite surprised how easy the install was, and literally brought my laptop back from the grave, as it has struggled recently under Windows. And I was just amazed at the amount of choice that Linux gave me, whether it was Conky, Plank, all the different system information I could get up on the screen without eating away at my resources, the varied different desktops that you can get lost in. And the plus was my Steam library had slightly increased from the previous times I've tried Linux in the past. I've not gotten rid of Linux yet from my main rig. I still have to use Windows now and again for the odd program that is not available yet on Linux. So I just dual boot it. Currently I'm on Linux Mint with a KDE Plasma, which I'm trying out, which I quite like. And not as resource hungry as I did think. And that's about it up until this point.
Very good. I used to like KDE too, and then I discovered Windows Managers, and I've never looked back.
Okay. I think that's a rabbit hole I may well delve into.
So I have KDE on this machine here, and the other day I went into it for some reason. I don't remember what I was doing. Oh, I messed up my i3 config and couldn't get i3 to load. And when I finally got back into i3, Kwin was running in the background, taking up like 60% of my memory, which is really weird. So, anyways, yeah. Personal like Linux experiences aside. So, welcome, Martin, to the Linux cast.
Excellent. Great to be here.
We're going
to
have a lot of fun, I think, over time. So, instead of a main topic, so the way we've decided to rejigger the way we structure the podcast now that there's two people here instead of just me rambling on into the ether. We're going to have a couple links for news, and then we'll do one main big topic like I had been doing, but, you know, with two people. Today, what we're going to do, instead of the news, we're just going to talk about the favorite Linux apps that we use. And I figured, Martin, that we'll just go through and you do one, I'll do one, you know, until we get to a certain amount of time, and then we'll just wrap it up. So why don't you give your first top Linux app?
Yeah, well, coming from Windows, I was constantly either running system optimization or CCleaner. Obviously, you don't have to run as many on Linux. But a nice little system cleaner optimizer I did come across was the one called Stacer. We'll drop the link in the show notes so you can find it from your software repository. But it tidies things up. There's no danger of bricking your system or anything like that, but it really is a good one. I just feel quite comfortable with it. Obviously, there's better ones. There's BleachBit, there's a couple of others, but I think BleachBit, if you're new and you tick the wrong thing, you could well be in a bit of danger. So I would recommend Stacer. It's just a couple of clicks cleans your system.
Sounds cool. I don't clean my system often enough. It's probably something I should do. I probably have all these orphaned packages just sitting around. So my first one is a new one that I just actually did a video on for the YouTube channel. It's called Zim or ZimWiki. It's a VimWiki alternative, but it's like a GUI-based notes-taking app that you can use Markdown, and allows you to create links and child links and all sorts of things. It's just a really great note-taking app. Now, it doesn't offer syncing services across devices or anything, so it's just basically for your computer, but I really like it. It's also helped me with, like, outlining, like, you know, I'm a fan fiction writer, so I write fan fiction and original fiction and stuff like that, so it's helped me with doing outlines and stuff like that. It's really cool. Also free and open source, so.
Cool. I did have a mess about with KodeMD. Is that something similar?
Is that like a Markdown, just a regular Markdown?
Yeah, Markdown, yeah.
Yeah, this in Zim has Markdown in it, but it's more used to create like your own personal wiki. Basically, it allows you to go through and like each page links to each other, kind of like on Wikipedia or whatever, but it's for your own personal notes and allows you to organize into different categories and tags and stuff like that. So it's a full-blown thing that just uses Markdown.
Oh, cool. Can you tie that to your Android or whatever device of choice yet, or?
No, they don't have an nothing mobile. There was talk in 2017 about them being able to, about them doing an Android app, but it never got off the ground. But it just saves everything in a .txt file, so there's no reason why you couldn't save that into Dropbox or something and have like a, a text editor on your phone. Just do it. And if that text editor happened to support Markdown, it would all come through formatted just like it does in Zim anyways. So I haven't tried that, but I'm assuming that it would work that way because there's no special formatting extension or anything. It's just .txt files. It's not like in VimWiki. I don't know if you use VimWiki. VimWiki has
No,
it
no.
saves all those in a .wiki file. So you'd have a harder time taking that and putting it somewhere else than you would just the text files of Zim. That's why I kind of like Zim. All right, your next
All
app.
right. Oh, next up. Well, I've been getting actually into web apps, which is available for Linux Mint on a beta. People coming from Peppermint OS would have known it as the Ice app, and this lets users turn their favorite websites into standalone applications in a containerized browser, which is ideal for banking. To be fair, I've got my banking, I've got my login for work on there, I've got YouTube on there, so it just opens up without all your various tracking. So it's just a standalone, basically a container package with no tracking involved, and I'm getting quite interested in that. Just locking down the security a bit. Saved tracking me all the way through various websites if I'm looking for bits and pieces. But that's my second app, definitely.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. I don't know if there's any web apps that I would use for that though, because I try to stay away from web apps. There used to when I
Yeah.
you know there used to be this one called like Frank or something that allowed you to integrate all of the messaging web apps like Facebook Messenger and things like that. So maybe I could use that for like that, 'cause I don't remember what that one the other one was. All right, so my next app is i3, which is a window manager. It's what I use instead of like a Plasma or whatever, regular desktop environment. I've been messing around with other window managers, but I just always keep coming back to i3, and I think it's because you don't have to learn any programming language in order to do it. Like, so I was using Qtile for a while, and that you have to use Python, in order to do the config file. And like, I don't know any Python at all. And while it's nice to learn, it's just kind of a pain in the butt if you hey, look, I didn't swear. Good job, man. it's just a pain. You go in there and you forget a comma, and you're like, oh man, like, and all of a sudden your thing won't load. So i3 is not like that. It also has like a, if you make an error, it still loads for the most part, except for that one time where it didn't load. Anyways, that's just, it's the thing that when I first started out with Linux and Windows and everything, I used my mouse for everything, like just like everybody does. And now that I've switched to window managers, everything is just keyboard driven. I mean, it's just so much easier. I hardly ever use my mouse. So that's the reason why I like i3.
I
So.
must admit, I've dabbled with the OpenBox.
Yeah, it's a floating window manager, which I haven't tried all that much, but from the Unix porn subreddit, there's lots you can do with it. It looks fun.
I mean, it's definitely drain your system if you're using a pre-2010 laptop, definitely, especially if you get the right distro working on it. At the end of the day. Personally, I just use Linux to log on to server at work and YouTube and all the various. There's nothing particularly demanding that I do use a system for. Mind it tinkering about.
Yeah, it's basically what I do. Most of my work is done in like LibreOffice is where I spend most of my time because I'm a writer, so that's what I do.
Yeah,
Which is basically
that's
Microsoft
my
Office.
that's my main thing about Linux. I like using my Microsoft proprietary software like
Get your
spreadsheets.
forks and
I like my
pitchforks out. Torches and
yeah
pitchforks.
Yeah, I mean, I could log on to the web apps and things like that, but I'm used to Excel. But it's no biggie. If I need to log, I can log into the web page from here, and it just opens up just as good. So, and I don't think Microsoft's going to give that up. They might give us a Microsoft Edge. Not that I don't think a lot of people's too bothered about that. But that's another topic, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Right, so your next app.
Another app. Bear with me. Let me just have a look through what I've recently. Could I cheat and say Audacity?
Sure, go ahead. I don't have it on my list, so go ahead.
Well, that's a new one I've used today, really. Just before the show, just ran through a couple of bits and pieces. I've heard a lot of it from the podcasting world, a lot of people. Is it available on Windows also?
Yeah, it's on Windows and Mac, yep.
Yeah, right. I hear a lot of good things for it. So I've decided to run that. But yeah, it seems nice and clean. It's not a busy system, user-friendly. So I'll have to cheat and use that if I can.
Yeah, I use Audacity all the time. It's fantastic. The primary user interface kind of looks like it's from the Windows 98 era, but if you can theme it, it looks good. So my next one is another keyboard-driven one. It's called Rofi. It's basically a launcher. It's an alternative to D-Menu, which is what most window tiling window managers use. But I like it because there's so many different ways you can use it. So I got it set up so I can hit Control or Super C, and that brings up a whole bunch of everything that I've copied and pasted, a whole history of copy and paste stuff, the clipboard.
Yeah.
I could do Windows B, and it brings up all of the emojis on my system, and I can hit one, and then it goes to the clipboard, and I can use it. So that's really cool, so you don't have to go through and search. Like, if you're on Facebook, Facebook has a whole bunch of these emojis in their little thing, but you can't search them. You know, I'm 35 years old, and I still use emojis. Judge me if you will. But that's basically Rofi, and you can just use it to launch apps and stuff, and it's just a keyboard-driven way of launching apps. Now, there's other versions of this. There's one called Mac has Alfred, but Windows has Linux has Albert. So that's a more GUI-centric version, because this is just like brings up a little terminal launcher. So that's my next app. I really like it. You got another one for us, Martin?
Yeah, I think a staple for anyone should be Redshift, which changes your monitor toning depending on the time of day. So it'll obviously reduce, the blue?
Yeah, blue
on at night, it'll drop your temperatures in your monitor, because in a couple of times I've been on till the wee small hours, and it just fries your eyes. But Redshift's a really good thing, and obviously with it dimming out the blue light, it does help you to go to sleep, and obviously you're not getting the flickering that sometimes you have from the refresh rate of the monitors. But yeah, definitely Redshift should be installed on anyone's setup.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things where that's something that I should be using, but I don't use. I'm young, I'm invincible, I don't have to do these things.
No.
Maya, who needs... You got two eyes. You don't... I mean, you have one to lose. That's horrible. All right. So he told you, bad sense of humor. So you're just going to have to deal with it. So my next one is NC Spot. It's a terminal-based Spotify client. So when I switched to window managers, I basically tried to make it so that everything is as minimal as possible, so I don't have a ton of overhead. And the Spotify client itself for Linux is an Electron app, and Electron apps take a ton of system resources. So NC Spot, just basically you install it, you sign in with your Spotify account, and everything's keyboard driven, and it just works, and it's hardly any overhead at all. I mean, it doesn't take up hardly any system resources, and there's just something about using a application in a terminal makes you feel like you're a nerd, and I like feeling like a nerd. So that's the reason why I use NCSpy, which is probably not a good reason, but it's good. There's certain, I mean, it doesn't have all the functionality that the Spotify client has, but you can still manage your playlists and search for artists and stuff. The only thing I wish it had was the ability to start like a radio station based on an artist or a song or something, which you can't do from the terminal, which is disappointing.
Right.
Yeah. So your next one, Martin.
I'll go for Steam on Linux. Mainly because I do like the odd game. It's just not, well, it's exactly the same as on Windows, obviously, with slightly less games. I mean, I did go down the rabbit hole of Lutris and Wine, but sometimes you could just end up scratching your head, and then, I mean, you'll look it up and you'll find out exactly what you've done, but it's a lot of hard work. I'd just rather, right, it's in my Steam library, just download it, play it native. Obviously, I've gone to use Proton and things like that, but yeah, I'll go for Steam.
It's a good choice. I don't play as many games as I want to play, but I will say this, you're so right about Wine and Lutris. I've been using Linux for 3 years, and I've never not once been successful in getting a game to play through Wine. I don't know whether or not it's because it's so hard or if I'm just a moron. It's either one is possible, but I just cannot. I desperately want to be able to play Hearthstone on Linux, because that's through, like, Hearthstone is the only reason why I have Windows on a partition. But I can't get Battle.net to install on Linux. I just can't do it. And there's no good tutorial out there like saying, hey, you know, you have to have these dependencies and these fonts installed. There's nothing like that out there. I'm not sure why you'd think that. I mean, I've seen people on YouTube have Battle.net installed and play Overwatch and stuff, but there's, I don't know. And rant. Anyway, so my next one is the only piece of proprietary software that I actually use on a daily basis. I have Skype installed. We're using Skype right now, but I don't use that very often. But my one that I use every day is Todoist. It's my to-do list manager. I keep my daily things that I have to do, you know, in it, and it syncs across my phone. And there's just no good open source way to do this. There's a Todoist client called Planner that's for Elementary OS. It works pretty much only well in Elementary OS from my experience. It doesn't work well on a window manager, which is just disappointing. But even then, it still uses the proprietary backend of Todoist. And I like being able to sync the tasks across phones. And you can do that with GTasks and or GTask client, but there's no good ones. They're all meh. You know, I don't know. It's not good. And it's weird to say your biggest if you had to list your biggest disappointment with Linux, mine would be the lack of a good open source to-do client. And you'd think, I mean, every computer science student, their very first app that they code is a to-do client. I mean, you'd think that there'd be at least one good open source one, but there's just not. That's another rant for today. So you got another app for us, Martin?
Yeah, I'll go for a terminal app called, well, I'll butcher this now, Yakwaki, Y-A-K-U-A-K-E. It's just a nice little terminal app, F4, and it drops down. I mean, I know you could use the terminal shortcuts. Mm-hmm. But I find myself opening terminal, shutting it down, right, oh, open it up, blank new terminal, you quakey, F4, pop in your commands, paste it in. It's quite customizable as well. When you lose focus, it can roll back up, roll back over, drops back down, or press F4, carry off where you left off. I think it really is a good little terminal emulator.
I've used it before. I think it has a nice feature where you can like start, say you start an update for Ubuntu or whatever, and then it can just go like run in the background.
Just leave it running, yeah.
Yeah, that's really nice, because otherwise, I mean, for everything else, you have to leave the terminal open on a screen that's taking up real estate. That's, you know, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a couple other ones that are kind of like that too, I've tried. Anyway, so my next one is, so in my quest of to try to find everything open source for my daily needs, I switched from LastPass to Bitwarden. I discovered Bitwarden through an ad on DLN, and it's awesome. I mean, it's just fantastic. It's open source. It's every feature you want is free. They have a paid version. I'm not even sure what you get with a paid version, but I just throw them some money every month because it's awesome. I mean, it's just, it's basically, like, I don't know if you've used 1Password or LastPass. It's basically that, but just open source, and it's well designed. It has, you know, Android app, iOS app, to keep your passwords in. And I mean, I think everyone should use a password manager. So it's just, this is the one that I've chosen, and it's open source. I was using, NPass for a while, and that's not open source, but it worked fairly well. But Bitwarden is just, yeah, it's better in every way. So that's my. Go ahead.
Cool. Yeah, I've heard the guys at DLN, because I'm a LastPass guy still. But I've been thinking about giving Bitwarden a try. Because there is a lot of features, and I think just doing this off my head, have you got something like a gig of your notes and stuff like that you can save on the system and things like that? As well, I think you can have it closed down so it's just on your system or in the cloud. But I think it's about $10 for a year, which I'm pretty sure of, which is nothing, just especially with the security. And they offer bounties to try and crack it. So I don't see LastPass doing that. I just hear that LastPass has never been broken into. But when I log into LastPass, it isn't one of the best. It's just like you get you put your, obviously, your email in, and you've got countless amounts of tries at your password. And I don't feel safe as a password manager, so maybe that's one to have a look to. And obviously, if it works on Android as well,
yeah, it does.
That'd be spot on.
Yeah, it's very nice on Android. I'm not sure if it has a limit of password tracking. I'm not sure if it has that same volume. That seems standard, right? It seems like something you'd have to do. Like, hey, you've tried 10 times, you have to try. Mm-hmm. I mean, even like Twitter. I mean, who cares about Twitter, right? That has a timeout password, but a password manager doesn't. That's odd, very odd. All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead and go. We got time for one more app. So why don't you, if you have another one to share with us?
Right. I'll go for pCloud. Excuse me. Let me just bring it up. Yes, yeah, so pCloud. I just want to check how much you get on a basic.
pCloud gives you extra for pretty much every action you take. You fill out your profile, you get an extra gigabyte or something. You share it with somebody, you get extra gigabytes and. pCloud's great.
Yeah, I use pCloud a lot, obviously distro hopping, so I just log into that, pull down some of my favourite terminal commands to install software or whatnot, but pCloud's quite nice. I mean, I was going to go for Nextcloud as well, which I've gone on to, but I'll keep pCloud as like my extra backup. So I've got Nextcloud and I've got pCloud, but I'm quite like Nextcloud as well, especially I think I've got 5 gigs free, and it's just like I'm guessing that they want me to bring all my files across and go for the 1 terabyte or 10 terabyte, but 5 gigs enough just for my desktop saves and various things like that. Obviously, it handles my email. But yeah, I'll go for a split between pCloud and Nextcloud for that, for the apps, just for file synchronization, especially if you're distro hopping. And let's face it, we're only keeping a couple of files on your system at any one time that's of any use, just in case you format the wrong drive, which occasionally happens.
Yeah, DD is not necessarily the easiest thing to use.
No.
So I've looked into, after we talked last week, I looked into a little bit of doing Nextcloud, and I found a service provider I think I'm going to use that. I don't know how to pronounce their name. It starts with an O. But you get 100 gigabytes, and it's like $25 a year. Like, that's pretty good.
That's really good, but I'm quite happy with the 5 gig, but yeah, that's good. I mean, the thing is, the prices are coming down all the time. But yeah, that's a really good deal. So, I mean, you can quite easily transfer all your files across there, but like they're saying, I'd rather have it shared out with between a couple, because you don't know when some of these guys are just going to go belly up, or you're just going to lose your data. So it's always best having two cloud services, your pictures stored on CD-ROM, or mail off your USB to a family member. Just make sure you've got it in three different places, especially for like family photos and things like that.
Hey, I got mine in several different places too. All right, so I think we'll go ahead and wrap up there. We got about a half an hour of a good podcast. Coming up next week, we're going to talk about NVIDIA and ARM. We're going to talk about our opinions on that. We'll also have a couple news links that suit our fancy. I just guess I'll go ahead and go, and if you want to get in contact with us, all of the contact information is at the beginning. Nobody listens to all the way to the end anyways. I mean, I say that, but then there's like that, you know, like 7 people who actually do. It's actually 70% of people actually make it all the way to the end. So you brave, brave souls making it all the way to the end of this nonsense. I mean, our heart really goes, and we're so grateful for those who listen all the way to the end. So we should put it like a contest. I mean, if we had like unlimited money or something, we'd do a contest at the end. And the only way you know what the contest is if you listened all the way to the end. But you can't skip, because you'd have some, swear word that skips to the end, you know, just to get the answer to the contest. All right, anyways, we will be back next week. Not bad for a first episode, huh, Martin?
Excellent. Great talking to you, Matt. It's been a pleasure.